Project Voices of Faith, Years of Change. The narrator for today, would you say your name, please?
John Pastorek.
And I'm the interviewer, Sister Sally Witt. We are at Mr. Pastorek's home on Elbrook Drive in Natrona Heights, and today is May 4th, 1995. Okay, now we have all that done.
All right.
Go on. Thank you very much
for
having an interview today. Let me just ask you first, where were you born, Mr.
I was born in West Trenum, 1924.
How did your family get there?
Well, I guess they came directly from Europe. They might have stopped, I think, I remember my grandpa saying they stopped around Philadelphia first, and then they headed west, I don't know why, but they came here, and I've been in this area ever since.
You don't know what brought your family here?
I guess economics, like all the foreigners. You mean really from Europe?
Well, yeah, what brought them to West Tarentum?
That's a good question. I always said, why did they ever settle in this forsaken place, although it's not that bad, but I don't know. I guess they must have been told there's work over this way.
Where did they come from in Europe?
Czechoslovakia. Well, at that time it was Austria-Hungary, but really Slovakia.
Mm-hmm.
Žilina, it's a big city, pretty big city in Slovakia.
I'm going to write down things I want to ask you to spell, and that's one of them.
Z-I-L-I-N-A. With a one of those, Germans call them umlauts, we call them, you know, just a little,
yes,
little check over the Z.
Over the
that
Z.
Makes it a Žilina instead of Žilina.
Okay. And who was it that came? Was it your parents, your grandparents?
My grandparents on my mother's side. My mother was, 11 years old when they came here.
Oh.
And her two brothers, my two uncles. Mm-hmm. And that was the only relatives from Europe that I knew. Because my dad's side never come over, and I don't even know when he came over, but he and my mother married over here. I think she was only 16.
Oh, my.
And she had 10 kids. There were 10 of us.
And where was your dad from?
He was from the same place, from Slovakia, a little town away from Žilina called Frivald.
Uh-huh.
I think it's F-R-I-V-A-L-D, Frivald.
But did they meet in Tarentum?
I guess. They must have, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then what kind of work did your father do?
He worked in the paper mill in Tarentum. My grandpa did too, and I think some of my cousins worked there. There used to be a paper mill down the bottom hill. Now it's a brick factory or something.
And did you say your father was one of 10, or were you one of 10?
No, I was one of 10, yes. My father had some brothers and sisters, but we didn't know any of his side.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one to come over. And my grandparents and my mother and two brothers come over.
Now, Joan had said something about you keeping in touch with your family over there.
Well, I did at one time. I used to write to a relative I never knew of.
Hello.
There's Mrs. Pastorek, Emma.
Hi.
Sister
Hi,
Sally.
Sister. Welcome.
Thank you very much. We got started.
Good.
She had a little accident coming up here to your car.
I saw it.
We were talking about your relatives in Europe and how you kept in touch with them.
Well, it was a relative on my mother's side. However, as I think back, you know, I'm slow, but I don't read it as good as I thought I did. I used to think I could read it, but there's a lot of words I don't know. But I used to tell one of my other relatives, the older one that lived around here, and he said, oh, he said, you talk good as they do, don't worry. So they'll understand. Well, I used to write to him, evidently he did understand, and we'd send him some money, too. That's when the communists were there, so he used to tell me he got it, but maybe the communists made him write that, I don't know. You know, but anyway, he got it, and but they were educated people over there because his sons were doctors, and I think one of them was a dentist or something over there. But then they used to tell me things like, my grandpa was, I guess you would call him a mayor of the little town over there where they lived at one time before they came here. So I ran across that letter too long ago, and I don't remember where it is now. He told me, he said, that cross that your grandpa put in the middle of town square is still there. Evidently, he had built a big stone cross, and you know, like, I guess it was a small town. And now they say Žilina, but you know, it'd be like, say, I can say when I go to Europe, oh, I live around Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, but maybe they lived on the outskirts or whatever. It was a little village, I guess. and he was the mayor, is what I gather. But he built this evidently a big stone cross in the town, little town square there. And they told me, now this was, let's say I used to write maybe in the early 80s, somewhere there. And he said that cross is still there, the grandpa put up.
Wow, so it survived the years of communism.
I guess. They said, and it was fully communist. It was probably at its peak then, when I used to write. Maybe late 70s even. So, I don't know, then they come over here. Why he come over here, I guess. They were told, like everybody else, there's gold over here and grows on the trees and everything, so.
Where, specifically, where did you live in West Toronto?
On 10th Avenue, corner of Western and 10th. It's right above St. Pete. St. Pete's is on the corner of Western and 9th, and we lived on the corner of Western. My daughter lives, one of my daughters lives in there now. And, it's not too far from Holy Martyrs.
Yeah. And what you started to tell me, what kind of work your dad did?
Well, he worked in the paint mill, and so did my grandpa. And that was right down the bottom of the hill. From straight down Western Street, you would walk right into the factory. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many years he worked there, and I guess they made all of about 18 cents a day or something like that.
Did you know?
Now, remember, they raised 10 kids.
Wow.
On 10. One man working today couldn't do that. They're lucky they can raise one kid. Now, you were going to ask something.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you knew much about his work when he was doing it.
Well, yeah, there was a paper mill. They used to make nice writing paper and everything there. And now here was the thing I was just telling Joan or somebody the other day. He used to work there, and I when I was a kid, I don't know what time he went to work, but I know it was early, say maybe 6:30. And my dad was the kind of guy, if he had to start at 7, he probably left home about 6. And it was only down the bottom of the hill, 3 or 4 blocks. But anyway, he would go to work, and then after he was at work, say about, I don't know what time it was, but it was a couple hours later, 8, 9 o'clock, my mom would make his lunch in one of those old Luneman lunch boxes. If you remember those old ones, that were kind of oval-shaped, and they had two compartments. You lifted the one, which I guess the coffee or whatever, I think he used to like tea, we'd have tea in there, then the sandwiches were in the bottom. But we would bring it to him. Now imagine letting little kids walk into a factory now.
Yeah.
Insurance would not allow that. So. But we used to go in there, and you know how the guys are. Our little kids come in there, take it by the hand, say, come on, we'll take you to where your dad's working. And we'd go past all these loud machines making this noise. You know, we'd be shouting there, but they'd take us through there. They probably got a kick out of that. But they would find our dad, and then I'd probably go down with one of my brothers or sisters. But I thought I was pretty nice. I mean, it would never happen today. You're not allowed in the gates, right? But there we were in this factory with all that noise. And we would see how the paper's coming out in rolls at the end, and they would cut it. And then we'd get a lot of paper ourselves. They'd give us paper and take home to write and sketch on. I was always drawing. I like to draw and everything. So that was pretty nice.
Now,
my grandpa worked there, too.
And how did your dad get his lunch during school, during the school year?
I don't remember. Either he might have taken it, excuse me, being that there were no refrigerators, I don't think she made it the night before, and he kept it in the fridge, so they would have to make it in the morning.
Mm. Oh, thanks very much.
Wow.
Whoa. Oh, I'm sorry.
You
know
got
what,
this bent spoon here.
Want to cause any more accidents today.
Don't worry about it. Nothing can happen here. So, yeah, that's as far as I remember about that work. And a lot of them, well, half the people, maybe more than half the work, that were all those foreign people. They all settled in West Trenum there.
Wherever you want to put this.
Okay, thank you. What nationalities were the people who worked there?
Well, I'd say a good bit of them were Slovak, Czechoslovakians. There were others. Well, even the boss, I remember, he was Slovak. And I guess a good bit of them were Slavs.
Mm-hmm. Then did you ever work there?
No, no. No, let's see, my dad was... yeah, he was still working there when I went into the Navy. I was 19. I was, 1943. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were, I was home on leave, I think. In fact, I was home on leave already, yeah. It must have been in August. That must have been my first leave. And I'm talking with my dad, and I think he's going to work that day. So we lived on the corner. You could look off the corner, look all the way down, and then he'd cross the tracks, and the mill was there, you know. So he was saying, maybe I won't see you again or anymore. And I said, don't talk like that. Nothing's going to happen to me. I thought, he's thinking something's going to happen. I don't know what he was thinking. So I just stood on that corner and I looked and I kept watching him. I watched him till I couldn't see him anymore. And, he finally walked, I get into the mill there. And then that was that, And then that was in August. Because then I went back to the Navy. I was going to school out in Boston then, Navy school. We were living in a hotel.
Boston?
Yes. And then one day I get word my dad died. And I remember then I almost stumbled going across and going, then they gave me leave to come home. But so that was that thing. He was saying he might not see me again, and I said, and he was only 49.
Wow.
So...
how young were the children at that point?
Well, I was 19. I was the third oldest, and we were all born except my youngest sister, his youngest daughter. She was born after he died in, he died September. In September, I guess, yeah. It had to be September, and she was born in November, so all nine of them were born. Except that youngest one. He's what now, 50-some years old. But anyway, he was still working at the paper mill. But I can't, anyway, it's not important. I know he worked up the Allegheny Ludlum right up here in Harrison for a while. But he had to be working down there. At that time, okay, what else?
How did your mother get along then? Can I pour this for you?
Sure. How did she get along with her?
Like
anybody, I guess. There weren't insurances, there weren't pensions, there weren't anything then. And I don't know, when I think about it now, people got along better then than they do now, and they had nothing. Well, I guess she got a little bit of Social Security then. I think I remember that. For some of the kids that weren't 18, I think that's the way it was. You had to be 18, I think. After you were 18, you didn't get any more. Mm-hmm. Well, she survived, so then some of my brothers were working then, and I would have been working, but I went in the Navy, so they were helping support the family then. Well, I say, as far as I remember, we weren't rich by any means, but they got along. Everything went good. And then I come home from the Navy.
So what did you do when you came home from the Navy?
I went to school. I went to the Art Institute down in Pittsburgh.
Oh. So all that drawing when you were little was...
I guess that was in me. And I wanted them to buy me oil paints when I was, somewhere early teens. And oil paints, they couldn't buy oil paints. They had to buy food.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just forgot it. But I wish I would have bought me some, but, I wanted to paint. But anyway, it turned out all right.
What did you do then with your art work from the art?
Well, then I graduated from there, and that was a commercial art school. I didn't do much with it then. And then after that, I decided I'm going to go further. Of course, I got married in the meantime. We had three kids, and then I started going to Carnegie Mellon evening school. And I went there for I don't know how long, and I got about a year's worth of credits anyway.
In art also?
Yes. And then... her brothers, in the meantime, were going to college. One of them was going to Indiana up here in Pennsylvania, and I talked to him. But, in school, there were guys used to go to school and were working in the night, and they got a job, and they could work steady midnight. Well, by the time I tried to do that, they wouldn't do it anymore. So I didn't say, like I say now when I think it over, it was like a guardian angel led me all the time. I decided I'm going to go to school full time up in Indiana. So, but I wanted, you know, I tried to get a leave from the mill and they wouldn't give it anymore. They didn't want to give leaves by this time to go to school or anything like that.
Is this after the war?
Oh, yeah, this was already in late 50s. Now, I was out of high school, what, about 14 years then. So I decided I'm going to go to Indiana. So, you know, I went up to try to, you know, how it's probably like that now. If you want to start in September, you better start doing this last year already.
Yeah.
So I went there already probably in August, and school is going to start in September. So the dean, I guess he saw I was older, so he's not going to muck you around, I guess they figured. You know, I was already a veteran and older, and he said, I'll tell you what, he said, you bring all your papers to me. He said, don't send them to college, send them to me. So I did all that. I made it to school in September. I started school in September and got my degree then. I got a lot of credits from going to Carnegie Mellon and the Art Institute. I guess when they see you're older, you're not going to fool around.
Were you able to transfer credits?
Yes, they accepted them up there. Well, I say it must have been a good Lord doing that. I don't know. He had all that planned out. And then, well, then everything went. And I always tell the grandkids now because we help them study. And I said, you know, I went to college, I had three kids. And for a while I commuted. Then we got in five of us used to travel back and forth. It's only about an hour from Trenum.
Is it?
We were living in Trenum then. So I said, you know, I went to college, never had lower than a C and all this and that. And, you know, I said, it could be done if you want to. Well, then when I got out, it wasn't long. I got a job teaching, and that was that.
Oh,
and here we are, yeah. I taught art. I'm Deer Lakes High School. You know where that is? Out in West Deer.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know where the high school
is. You're there. You hear them in the news every once in a while. They've been going around about they're trying to build new buildings. You know, first they tear buildings down, and now they say they need new ones and all that. So that's been the news, and I guess teachers been striking there, too. So here we are.
What was teaching like?
It was probably better than it is now because, you know, in those days we were a lot of disciplined kids. I started, I think, teaching in 1960. Well, you were a lot of, you know, if you had to crack the kid, you did it. Now you're not allowed. You'll be sued and everything else. You'll probably be fired and everything else. But I really didn't like it, you know. I mean, it was getting lax. Every year you go, it was getting worse and worse. And pretty soon, I always thought the administrators were lax. So I always thought that made it harder on everybody, on all the teachers. I hear now everyone tells me, man, is that good? You quit teaching now because it's bad up there. I guess all schools are the same. I don't know.
When did you retire?
About 1983.
Do you do artwork now?
I do some. I
any of these
painted things? That thing there, that one in the living room. I have one downstairs. I'll have to show you the classic from the Bible. From Revelation, that always intrigued me. What is it, 9th chapter in Revelation? Where the star falls from heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And to him was given the key. The star has a key. So who's the star? It says the star fell from heaven and he had the key to the bottomless pit and he opened the pit and out of the pit came this smoke and then out of the smoke out of that pit came these what they call locusts. They had the body of a horse and the head like a man, hair of a woman, teeth like a lion. That's all in Revelation.
You painted that?
Yeah, well, you know, that's all telling you what's on there. You know, good imagination that I made two of them. The first one wasn't so good. I'm making it now. Maybe I'll show it to you.
Oh, I'd like to see it.
And then I see some bits from other chapters in there.
This one looks like today's gospel, about the loaves
and
fishes.
It is, yes.
The Eucharist.
All right. This one. I'm gonna change a little bit of the sky. I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
It's too blue, and it shouldn't be that blue. I think it's too blue. Because it's coming toward evening already. writing because it says it's coming toward evening and people, I forget if he's ever going to go home or what. He told him to sit down, I know, I remember reading. And so I'll probably touch up the sky. Well, I'll bring that one up, but that's not wrong why you really come up to see this, right?
Here's rights and here's...
Well, let me ask you about your memories of going to church in West Tarentum.
Well, I guess they were good memories.
Can you remember when you first went?
Well, we went to Catholic school right there by the church in St. Clement's. It's still there in the building. That's where Joan has her office down there.
Yeah.
Is that hot enough? You want me to warm that tea up?
It's fine, thank you.
Well, yeah, we had all nuns. It was all nuns teaching, and well, we used to think it was rough, but when I think back, I think that was security. We had it, you know. Of course, in those days, the sisters and the priests, they were gods, as far as our parents were concerned. You know, being from, I guess, poor peasant families in Europe, I guess over there, too, the priest is a god, right? And he bossed the sisters around, but then, you know, and... Oh, you know how it is when you're poor kids. And we got by. We had a lot of fun, what we thought, but we got our rear end beat, I think, religiously by the week, probably.
At school or at home?
At school.
Oh.
We always said, you know, the nuns used to, the boys always got it, but the girls never got it.
Hmm.
Over the banister, up in the hall. Hmm. But even in all that, it might have given us inferiority complex, all that. I always said, but and when I think back, I guess it was a good experience. You know, when you would say good, I'm talking about godly good, you know, not just good politically. But it was all right, and we went to all the, well, in those days it was tremendous, you know, like any holiday, 40-hour devotion, it was always a big deal in church. It was great. They would get priests from other... parishes, you know, and we thought that was great. If somebody probably came from Bakerstown, we thought he came from another country, right? Because it was, you know, well, transportation wasn't like it is now. But anyway, I mean, it was great. All the holidays, really big doings. There's always, church was decorated. Of course, the nuns did all that. They decorated all the
did
church.
Did they?
And, I mean, they put all the flowers up and, you know, around the altars. We had the three altars and one in the middle, and we had to go to church every morning before school. Mm-hmm. I think 8 o'clock we had to be in church. And then march out of the church into the school, which was right there. That, you know, that way it was a good experience. And I always thought that the nuns really taught us good. Because I don't think anyone ever taught English like we were taught.
Really?
We had to diagram sentences and all that to know the subject predicate. I think to this day it's... That's what my little granddaughter, and I was in sixth grade at Highlands here, and she has a heck of a time with all that.
Hmm.
I said, boy, when we did that, well, my neighbor across the street here, he went there too. He said, oh, I don't think we were taught good. I said, oh, I think we were. In arithmetic, I thought we were taught good.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, nuns, I don't think, were educated themselves. And they might have gone to high school, though, at what do you call the seminary for nuns?
At the mother house.
The mother house, I guess, yeah.
That often was the case. I don't know about the particular sisters you had, but...
St. Francis.
But even, you know, usually the sisters had been to high school, and they were learning while they were teaching. I started that way myself.
Well...
Going to college and teaching at the same time.
And I think today, I mean, you probably go more, and you probably go to full-time in summer,
mm-hmm.
Duquesne. I used to go to Duquesne one summer in 67. Mm-hmm. It was full of nuns
mm-hmm.
going there that summer.
Mm-hmm. Do you want some hot water?
Well, maybe, is that hot water?
It's hot, yeah.
Okay, that's good, thanks.
Okay.
But anyway, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't, but I should too, in a way. I mean, you know, I always said we were poor as a church mouse in those days and had nothing. I wore my brother's hand-me-downs and all that, but yet, when I think about it, I have nothing but happiness. My grandparents lived only a block away, well, a short block away. We were up here and Grandma was down there, and you know how it is. Well, of course, feeding 10 kids was tough, but if I didn't like what Mom was feeding, making for supper, I went down my grandma's, honey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I ate down there. And, you know, it was nice. Escaping to your grandma's place, and that's why, see, I have a good experience with my grandparents. My wife didn't. But, you know, like our grandkids now, you know, I mean, geez, we do everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. I mean, I say it's the greatest thing could happen to a grandkid is be with grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you have a happy family, not, I mean, thrown off by your divorced parents and living with grandma and grandpa, that's not so good either.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it is, unfortunately, all our grandkids are pretty close to us. Up in Route 8, the furthest they live.
Oh, really?
Well, Joan lives up Route 8 near the Butler Airport, and then John lives a couple miles from her the other way toward Pittsburgh, but still up near Hampton. Before he gets almost in Bakerstown.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the kids a lot, but I think that's great. So, I mean, you know, being that we were all kids from foreign families, I guess we might have stuck together more.
Did you think of yourselves as being foreign, from foreign families?
I guess in those days a little bit we did, yeah. And I think even after us, I think the kids got it even worse. I think that you try to do everything to not to be a foreigner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to adopt this American. And then when I think back now, mm-hmm. to me the Americans, you know, what I call the English Americans, were to me the. Maybe you're English. I don't want to say it.
No, I'm not.
We looked at, you know, when I think back, after a while, that they were the dummies. Because look how many foreign kids and when they got educated. Look, all of us. I mean, our whole family. Like, uh-huh. She was a big shot up the hospital. She didn't tell you that, but she was the supervisor, big, next to the head lady there. And her one brother's a millionaire, I think. He lives in New Jersey. They live in one of these golf course places where you have to go through gates to get in or you don't get in, you know. I mean, these are all self-made people.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had nothing. When I think back, I think, what a dummy I was, you know. But, I mean, when you're brought up that way, you don't know much more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a good thing I went to the Navy. I think that's what opened me up. Fortunately, again, like a Navy, I know Guardian Angel had me by the hand a whole while, and then I got through there and nothing ever happened. And even like I was telling my son, I said, you know how guys are, young guys, we run in town and meet so-called bad women, you know. And I never got a chance to get in trouble. It seemed like something would always pop up that got me out of there real fast or something.
You mean when you were in the Navy?
Yeah, when I was in the Navy, you know, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
And saying I was always protected. I went to college, and when I think back, you know, I said we had three kids ready when I went to college, and she was working as a nurse, and there I'm up there trying to get educated, and never had lower than a C, and everything went. When it was all over, you know, finally, you see, I could just sense it. I never saw an angel, but I can sense it. He was had me by the hand always,
uh-huh.
And you know, that's the feeling I have, and I'm sure that was true. Because everything just went just like that. I got into teaching. Teachers were paying nothing. Were being paid nothing hardly in those days. They were still in the mm-hmm. 3,000. When I got in, every year we started getting a $1,000 raise besides our regular raise. They were jumping 1,500 the next year. We got another $1,000 the next year. Just kept going, getting better and better. Of course, now it's real good. And, well, I wasn't making what they're making now, but, you know, for those days, everything went good. Being a nothing in the old days, it come out pretty good, you know.
You talked about your religious education. What about when your children got their religious education?
We started living in Trenton. They started going to St. Clement's, too,
uh-huh.
down there. And then we moved up here, and we put them in Blessed Sacrament, but they used to have like 50, 55 kids in their class.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids weren't learning anything. They'd come home and they didn't know their arithmetic. I said, what's the matter? Why don't you tell them? Put your hand up and say. So then she said, Joan would say, I did have my hand up, but after the teacher answered 10 questions, she said, all right, everybody put your hands down now. And then he had the late teachers, and we know some of them now, and they were just kids out of high school. Girls out of high school were teaching. So you can't blame them, the way 50 kids in the class, you know,
mm-hmm.
after you answer 10 question. She said, well, we have to do something else now. So she said, then she said, put your hands down. So then we had to take them out just for the good of the kids. We took them out and sent them to Huntington.
Mm-hmm. Did you continue to be members of St. Clement?
No, then when we moved up here, we started Blessed Sacrament.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And we've been there ever since.
And you were away from West Tarentum then?
Yeah, we moved up here about 1962, yeah, January of 62.
Now, St. Clement's was a Slovak church, but Blessed Sacrament wasn't, was it?
No. There were a lot of Slovaks there, and a lot of Slovaks built it, but there was, again, like at St. Pete's in West Tarentum, it was the universal, you know, everybody, anybody went there. Where they held their ethnic churches again down in the flats in Natuna. The Polish church was there, the Slovak church, and they did have a St. Pete type church, St. Joe's, and then they just closed St. Joe's not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So they're all together down there now. And they're all fighting each other. The Poles, the Slavs, and the others.
Are they still?
Yeah, well, the same thing in our church. We had a merger with this Polish church up on the hill, that Our Lady Perpetual Help. Mm-hmm. They won't do anything that we do. They think any money they give, they claim, I hear to this day, they're only giving a dollar in the collection because we're not giving money to those people that are running that school. They think they're supporting the school, see? And yet there's Polish kids go to the school. Mm-hmm. They're really, Polish, I think, are like, what? Like the Jewish people, they stick together always. They'll associate with other people, but anything they do, it always seems it has to be for them. Well, that's beside the point. But yes, I remember St. Clement's in my kid days there. I loved it.
Do you remember your first communion?
Yeah.
St. Clement's?
And I remember I had to get up and say prayer in front of the church in Slovak. Which it went off like clockwork again. Everyone told me, oh, that was so good. You know, and I remember not making any mistakes or nothing. And we used to have to read in Slovak. I wasn't that great a reader. We had to read the Bible in Slovak, just to learn Slovak, you know. But then after a while, little by little, they got away from that. But yeah, I remember First Communion. I remember taking pictures in our backyard after we made it. And my godparents were from Springdale, and they would all come up. And their friends. Well, you know, they were like people that came from the old country with my folks. And you're like related when you do that, right?
I see.
People from the same town over there that came here. So they would all come up. And when I think back to them, I said, gee, how did Mom do that? We were poor, but they still had a big meal always, I remember. And only Dad working, I said, probably making, what were they making? 90 cents a day, maybe. But, you know, money went further in those days. But anyway, I have all those good experiences like that. And then when any of the, you know, of course, we were getting kids down there every 2 years, it seemed. Mom had another kid, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I used to feel bad about that always. Geez, why don't they quit getting kids? But that's the way they were taught, I guess.
Give a party when they had a bad.
They always day. Was a, yeah, always was a party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the days we'd go. Streetcars used to run in those days from this valley all the way down to Pittsburgh, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We used to get on the streetcar and go down to Springdale, down to my godparents, and to me they were the nicest people in the world. Boy, that was a like a big treat when we did that. I can still see myself sitting in that streetcar looking out the window. They had those bars across on the lower part, I guess. So you couldn't stick your hands up.
Did your family pray together at all?
Some. Not as much as I used to think we could have prayed more. But again, I guess, Mom, what you have to do? Wash clothes for all
yeah.
the kids, do the cooking, and Dad went down to work, you know, and I guess they were glad to get to bed when they got to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But, we prayed. So, of course, being that we went to Catholic school, then we were always taught to pray good there. You know, we were always going to adoration hours.
Going out what?
Adoration.
Oh.
What they call adoration hours. You know, like for Easter. The whole week before Easter, I guess, the church was always open so everyone could go in there and kneel and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have to go as a class always. You know, every class had a different half hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever time you went. If your time was 10 o'clock, you went to church from 10 to 10:30 as a class, and you prayed. I remember praying there always. That was mm-hmm. I said those were good experiences. Uh-huh. But then when I said we were off for Easter, what? We used to be off Thursday, Friday, Monday. They had, and Saturday and Sunday, they had adoration time for you when, say, you're, whatever, while I was in fifth grade, you had to go 11 o'clock Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Well, if you didn't go, boy, you got it.
In school, you mean?
Yeah. Sunday, same thing. Then we used to have benediction Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Now imagine running around and playing and having a good time, and now you have to go to church at 3.
Mm-hmm.
We hated that, but... Mm-hmm. But I did like benediction. I think I like benediction better than the Mass. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't long. And then I liked the songs they sang, and the litany was always...
The incense.
The incense, right. So, see, those were good experiences, even if we didn't like doing them. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you want to run around. You didn't want to go to mm-hmm. church.
Well, I see the art you have here. What kind of art did you have in your home in Toronto?
Not too much, really. We didn't.
Did you have statues or anything like that?
We might have had a couple little statues, maybe. There wasn't. We didn't. In our house, we didn't have, as I remember, we didn't have much art. No. My grandparents did. And like I said, that was my second home. So when, I remember, I think I have it on the garage. I took... The big picture of probably the Sacred Heart. Or maybe, how was it? Maybe the two pictures. Sacred Heart probably with Jesus, and the Blessed Mother probably with her. It was in one picture. Now, I remember something. You know Father Goralka?
Yes, I've met him.
All right, he's retired now. Lives in West Trenton, right there. On the corner, right across from where St. Pete's Church building is now. Mm. They live in that yellow brick house. There were two Goralka boys went to be priests, but this is the older one. And then they had a boy that was a little bit, they had a brother that was a little bit, you might say slow-like. And I remember an incident that, something I remember, they had a picture about the same kind. I remember going to their house, visiting. They had a picture about the same kind, like I think it was the Sacred Heart, you know, how they showed a picture of the heart and mm-hmm. the Blessed Mother. And something I remember now, you know, I don't remember all the details, being a kid, you know, you're not sure if you got it right or not. But anyway, there was something that I remember, they said he went by and touched it and something happened.
And that was by Father Goralka?
No, one and his brother, that one brother that we thought. And you know, that was a talk around there for a while. Something happened. So to this day, I don't know what it was, but something, he went by that picture and, you know, some, I don't know, he got shocked or something. Mm. So I'm still thinking to this day what that was. But my grandma had that picture. There might have been other ones.
I'm wondering how you got interested in art, and I was wondering if that was part of it.
Must have been in me. My one uncle was good at stuff like that. If he made something like, even if he made, I remember him cutting out play guns out of wood, you know, just plain wood. Well, when he made it, that thing was perfect. Uh-huh. So I would say he had artist temperament. Uh-huh. And I had other cousins that used to live in Creighton. In fact, they lived in our house at first, before they got settled. Then they moved down to Creighton. One of their boys was an artist, like. And then the father was, they were all gifted in that family, it seems like, because they used to make these homemade rugs. And they made their own looms and everything. And they used to play the violin. And my other cousin, the one I learned to write to Europe, and I always wanted to play the violin. That, boy, that was, to me, that's the, even to this day, violin music. And they used to practice upstairs in our house there. And he had to be practicing up, and I'd be downstairs listening, you know. I used to want to go up and nib and see what he's doing, how he's doing it, you know. But I didn't want to bother him. But that, I don't know, I guess we're related somewhere in there. So there was talent there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Are your brothers and sisters artistic?
No, I don't think. It seems like no one else. I mean, it could be, but, it, you know, it never developed. You could have talent may be doing something else, that, you know.
Yeah. What about your children?
Well, John was into art some, but now that he's doing his job, he doesn't have time, but he always says, I want it. Well, he did some paintings. They're real nice, too, yeah. So Joan had some, and even to this day, she says, sometimes I cry because I want to paint, and I just don't have time to be doing it. So she must have it.
Who's that? Joan?
Joan, yeah. Oh, she was telling me not too long ago, she said, sometimes I just cry because I want to be painting. I guess she sees something and she wishes she was doing it or helping on it. I told her we ought to do things together sometime, and you'll catch on from that real good. Mm-hmm. She went to art school for a while up in Indiana, then she dropped out. Then she got into the religious things.
Yeah.
But she still said she'd like to paint.
When you were growing up in West Random, how did you celebrate holidays in your family?
Well, pretty much like I said, all these celebrations, they always had a ham, and that was a big thing. I guess you could feed more that way, right? Mm-hmm. Buy ham, and my mom did all that homemade baking.
Oh, what were some of the things she made?
Poppy seed rolls, nut rolls, all the other ethnic breads. Like she'd make breads and put eggs inside of them, and then bake them. You know, there'd be the whole egg inside. Things like that. And my grandma would do the same thing, so there was stuffed bread with mashed potatoes, which we loved, and same as cabbage. Cabbage bread, potato bread. Mm. And that would be the same thing. The whole gang would come. Again, my godparents from Springdale and their friends of Mazax. Or we would go down their way. We'd be down in Springdale, running around, down around their yards. I remember that, plain as anything. One of the, my grandparents' name was Sagans from Springdale, and his brother, they lived close to him. And one of the Sagan boys is a professor up at Slippery Rock U, up in Slippery Rock. In fact, he ran for senator a couple years ago against Cyril Spector. You remember?
Oh, I should, but I don't think I do.
Somewhere within the last 4 or 5 years, God bless you.
Thank you.
He ran, but he didn't have enough money, you know, not enough mm-hmm. money to buck Spector. Mm-hmm. But he did get some votes. So there he was running for senator. Mm-hmm. And he's my cut, one of my relatives. And I was playing golf with this guy in Atron Heights. He's running a funeral home, not what used to be Shaholsky's. A young boy called, what's his name? Anyway, while we're walking down the course playing together, you know, and I'm telling, where are you from? Vandegrift. He said, yeah, okay. I said, did you know anybody by the name of Sagans? I remember when we were kids, I used to go up to Vandegrift every once in a while. He said, geez, my mom's a Sagan. I said, really? I said, you related to the Sagans in Springdale? I said, yeah, I think that was his uncle. So there, we might be related to him.
Okay.
never knew each other.
Yeah. Let me turn this over before